Welcome to a special Directions Media podcast. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief. We'll be speaking today with Mike Hickey, President of Pitney Bowes Business Insight, a recently announced business unit composed of Pitney Bowes MapInfo and Group One Software. After the acquisition of MapInfo in 2007, Hickey was put in charge of this unit to oversee the synergies that existed not only between these companies that focused on business geographics and location intelligence, but also to see where they fit within the parent company's primary business of mail stream technology that supports the management and flow of information, mail, documents, and packages.
Well, Mike, thanks for joining us. I appreciate you taking the time to explain a little bit about the new business unit that is called Pitney Bowes Business Insights. And so let me just start by asking that, you know, the combined entity that's now this new group, Business Insights, includes, you know, many of the Pitney Bowes acquisitions over the past few years, one of them obviously being MapInfo and also including NCOM and Group One. Can you go into a little bit more detail and explain about how the technologies from each of those groups will now be aligned with your software solutions and target markets?
Yes, certainly, Joe. So, you know, one of the things that when you looked at the business, and this is something we've been doing as a team for the past year, is, you know, what's our new vision for the business? How do we build our strategy? What's the positioning? How we go to market and so forth? And when you look at the business, we have sort of four key capabilities that you could say are sort of our horizontal approach to any kind of vertical market. So certainly one, which was traditionally the MapInfo side of the business around location intelligence, and additionally also predictive analytics, which came from the MapInfo side of the business. And then from the Group One side of the business, a strong competency around customer communication management, and also operational intelligence, which is around the ability to data quality and data integration type of products. So together, the four of those, what we do is we're trying to approach the markets from a vertical perspective and applying those competencies to the specific business problem that a vertical would have, and bringing to the table the integrating the right parts of those solutions to deliver the right and the best solution for those clients. So when we think about what we do, you know, we're really about sort of giving organizations insight, you know, giving them operational intelligence by using customer intelligence. And we help them locate opportunities, you know, through the location intelligence product lines. We help them locate trends, locate other opportunities where they can grow their business. We help them connect those opportunities into their business workflows, help them change strategy and business rules, and make stronger connections between the assets they have in their business and their customers. So those are sort of the general value propositions that we can bring to verticals.
So maybe if you can tell me if the decision to align these particular groups was more a function of addressing their traditional business geographics market segments, you know, that's been familiar to MapInfo and Group One, or maybe to better address some of the new targets sought by Pitney Bowes' mailstream market, or both? Or you want to tell me at least how it aligns maybe with the overall corporate focus?
Yeah, so, you know, certainly the main focus was when you look at the cross-section of Group One customers and MapInfo customers, you know, there are many of the same verticals. And so certainly that's been the predominant focus, is, you know, looking at the ways that we can take those further, whether it's up or down or across an organization, and with these enhanced value propositions. Now, that being said, you'd be surprised about also the overlap within Pitney Bowes corporate. Certainly different places in the organization, but Pitney Bowes being a Fortune 300 company has a lot of strong relationships in financial services, telecommunications, public sector. And, you know, that's something we're only beginning to scratch the surface on, of collaborating and working together across the business units, and actually now starting to have conversations about creating joint solutions. So we haven't organized around that, but we do see that as a great opportunity moving forward.
Yeah, that was, I think, one of the big questions that people might have is, you know, having been a part of Pitney Bowes for the last, you know, a year, 18 months or so, that whether you would get, you know, pulled into some of those opportunities, and whether the corporate side really saw those synergies being developed.
Yeah, so when they bought the businesses, they sort of knew there would be those synergies, maybe not so much specifically what they were, But now that we've all had a chance to understand both sides of the business, you know, it's starting to become more clear to everybody.
I think one of the main questions that people had was whether the new alignment would mean for continuing the brand of MapInfo Professional. People are so familiar with that and with the product. And maybe you could tell them how it will affect any new product development and whether there's going to be existing synergies. I think, as you have said before, bringing some of the technology like from Group One into MapInfo Pro.
Yeah, so it's you know, certainly, you know, a brand is an important asset for any company, and Pitney Bowes has a predominant brand in the mail space. MapInfo had a predominant brand in location intelligence, and we don't want to walk away from that because it took many years to create. And what we're doing, hopefully, with this new division is we're starting to establish a landing point when we build the bridge from Group One and MapInfo to Business Insight that is more reflective of the value propositions that we can put in the market. At the same time, as we're building those bridges and even beyond building the bridges, you know, we foresee those brands staying more at the product level brand. And I think a good example of that would be when IBM acquired Lotus years ago, and you know, Lotus had the Notes product. Still to this day, that's known as Lotus Notes. And just like we call MapInfo Professional, you know, going forward in location intelligence space, you know, we expect that a lot of the products that are really location intelligent specific solutions, you know, are going to maintain that branding around MapInfo. And likewise, in the customer communication space, we would use certainly the Group One branding name. Now, I think also your question was, over time, those might become more blurred, and as you start creating new solutions that use the technology or data and information from both sides of the business, you know, that certainly can get blurred over time. And it actually, we're encouraging that and trying to integrate these solutions as much as possible. But there's certainly in some of those spaces that where there's a real strong, so I would say mail, customer communications management, location intelligent, this will sort of attach the primary brand representation for the product line.
So I'm going to ask you about kind of the current economic climate that we seem to find ourselves in. Are there specific segments that you're finding that are more interested in the Pitney Bowes Business Insights solutions more than others? I mean, are there certain segments that you think you can help or that are demanding your attention now? And how do you see that playing out?
You know, I think anybody, you know, your competition now isn't just people that are in the same business as you. Your competition is anybody that's competing for IT dollars, right? So that, you know, you have to have a pretty strong value proposition and return on investment discussion with your clients. So certainly we're seeing more things shift away from people focusing on top line. They don't believe in the top line. They don't believe their customer is going to spend as much, so they're not willing to spend as much. And one could argue whether that's the right thing or not, but it's sort of the entrenched thinking that happens in times like this. Where they will spend the money is the things where you can show them how they can grow the bottom line in this environment, which means mostly how they can save and cut costs. So, you know, we see through our whole business, and you see that happening with your marketing programs, but certainly in how your salespeople start to prospect, you know, that's where they start focusing their business. So we still have people that are willing to talk to us about our value proposition because we are able to deliver on that ROI type thing. And then eventually, people are going to come back around to focusing back on the top line too, which gives us, you know, even more things to talk about.
Do you see any of this contraction in the industry? I mean, with the retail business being hit so hard and certainly the banking industry, I mean, do you see the pullback from your side of the fence or is there a readjustment in the types of applications these people are looking for? In other words, the retail guys aren't looking to expand very much anymore, but they might be looking at how to close and how to relocate. Do you see any of that coming through?
Yeah, so certainly, so using retail as an example, you know, you don't want to, if your entire business model is built on them expanding and building new stores, you're in trouble. But if you have ways to help them figure out how they're going to optimize their whole network portfolio or their store network and things like that, which would include closing stores or how they might have different merchandising concepts or something, there's, you know, there's opportunities to work with those people in this type of climate. Also, there's certainly probably, you know, in the retail sector, there's more of a focus on, you know, how they can save money within what they currently have besides closing stores, you know, maybe on how they can automate and things within the retail environment and things like that. So anything we can do that can help them sort of understand those trends and build new strategies, you know, that's where we're focusing our time.
Are there any other technologies that are going to play into the whole location intelligence business that you see? I mean, right now things look kind of bleak, but down the road, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, are there any things that you see that might be better integrated into a more of a location intelligent type of an approach? You know, and I'm thinking specifically of something like RFID or sensor technology, whether that's inside or outside a particular store. Are you having any of those conversations and looking, you know, at that kind of perspective?
Our thoughts all along have been, we started from a standpoint of sort of location-centric applications, but where the future is going to take us is, you know, where location is just prevalent in most applications. And so it's more about location-enabling applications throughout the enterprise, which in that world now, the enterprise means dislocated employees, mobile employees, and so forth. And so we certainly see, you know, software as a service, certainly see RFID and all that as, you know, part of where the industry is going. And I think, and we all think, create tremendous opportunities for the right applications in those spaces.
Are you still going to put any emphasis on mobile location services? I mean, you know, as MapInfo, you had a group that looked at that before. Is that less important to you now than perhaps it was a couple years ago?
I think when we first got into it, we were early to market, and you know, we helped Vodafone build their LBS consumer platform over in Europe. And you know, unfortunately, I think some of the carriers couldn't find ways to turn that into appropriate revenue streams, and we sort of shifted our focus away from that to actually back to the enterprise. You know, working with people that are going to have, you know, the dislocated mobile workforces, and how do we build applications that help, you know, connect them and connect the information, and how does location become, you know, prevalent in those type of applications. So that's probably where our focus will continue to be, is those business problems that get solved by location, you know, not necessarily focused on some of the, well, you'll see the consumer-focused LBS applications.
Right, right. You know, one of the things we had talked about a while ago was when the acquisition had occurred, is that you had a vision that hopefully in 5 years you could build your group, Business Insights Group, into about $1 billion, some of it through acquisition, some of it organic growth. Do you still see that as a possibility? You know, you've had some layoffs recently. What do you think is the forecast now, and what's the more realistic goal?
Yeah, so, you know, I certainly think it's a stretch, and it's absolutely doable to be. You should be able to double your business every 5 years, you know, in average working environments. And obviously, we're not into that now. So, you know, certainly in the front end of that, we've taken a step sideways, so to speak. But at the end of it, we could be taking major steps forward. That over a 5-year period, you still could average the right growth to get there. So we're not giving up on that for sure. You know, we're really trying to focus a lot of our attention less on acquisitions and more on organic growth. You know, we believe that that's where we can really accelerate it. So, you know, a big focus for us is really walking the talk on customer intimacy and innovating on behalf of our customers. And that's where we're setting aside the funds and the money and organizationally trying to drive innovative solutions that could help us organically, you know, contribute more to that number than we would through acquisitions.
Okay, great, Mike. I think that's all the questions I have. I appreciate your time. I just want to say thanks and appreciate the information.
Joe, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on another Directions Media podcast. If you'd like to write to us and tell us how you liked today's interview, please do so by sending us an email at editors@directionsmag.com. Join us again next time, and be sure to tell a friend.